Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory, glory, glory. We did have a good healing school yesterday. We had a lot of people here from a lot of places. I don't know how many, but 80 or 90 or 100 anyway. We had a pretty good group. The Lord does some wonderful things at those healing schools, doesn't he, Richard? He does some awesome things. We love to see the King show up and do wonderful things. He is an awesome God. It's just amazing to see what God is doing. Well, how many of you know Texas is on fire today? Largest fires ever in history. There is tens of thousands of acres and hundreds of square miles and been hundreds of homes burned in the state of Texas in the last 3 days. And most of us don't even know it's burning. State of Texas is on fire. Worst fires ever in the history for the state of Texas in the last 3 days. One place is 125 square miles burning. Not a few acres. Do we believe we have dominion on this earth? Do you believe that God answers prayer? Then I think it's time we ask Him to do something for these people. Don't y'all? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as your son, knowing that you will hear my prayer and knowing that you will answer it. But Father, I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't care how you're going to do it. I don't know if you send angels. I don't know if you're going to send more tankers. I don't know if you're going to send rain from heaven. But Lord, we ask you to put out these fires. And Lord, we ask you to be merciful to the people. Now, Lord, I know you have been more than merciful to us in this nation. And I know we are suffering what we're suffering today because of our wickedness. I know that the majority of people will not serve you. They will not put you first. They're throwing you out of everything. And you're showing us what you do when we throw you out. But Lord, I ask you to be merciful because I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to put out those fires and let it be done so that everybody will know that you done it. I ask you to bring rains or whatever, or clouds, just make clouds appear from nothing, from nowhere, and just that way the people can see that it's you, and may they give you the glory and the praise as you put out the fires all over the state of Texas. And Lord, I praise you and thank you. Then all the people that have lost homes, many have lost their complete homes and all the things they have. And other areas have been evacuated. And I ask you, Lord, to be merciful to all these people. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Because things on this earth, you told us not to build our treasures on earth. But Lord, we don't listen. We sure build lots of treasures on earth. And then, Lord, we can have all this stuff and it can all be gone in just a heartbeat. We can be gone in a heartbeat. So, Lord, I praise you and thank you for being our mighty God and answering our prayer and doing a great work for the state of Texas. And then, Father, while I'm praying, I ask you to give our leaders over this country, especially over the state of Texas, that are working on the budgets, I ask you to give them knowledge and wisdom of how to deal with these situations, how to learn to control and let people realize that they need to learn to live, how to control their finances. And the only way to do that is be attached to you. There's no way that man can live and be prosperous except they put you first. So, Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to us in a mighty way. And, Lord, as we pray, I ask you to move by the power of your Spirit and do great and wonderful things for us so that we will walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that people will know that we're totally connected to you and that everything we do will be so awesome they will have to know that what we do, especially when we do it in the name of Jesus, that it's you doing it and not us. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in really, really troublesome times. I was also reading an article about a Jewish man wrote, and he said, if we make it to the 15th of May without a war in Israel, he's going to be surprised. Well, when the war starts in Israel, I can assure you it will be nuclear. Israel has some of the finest nuclear weapons there is, and there's no way that they can stop the tens of thousands of missiles that are pointed at them without a nuclear war. And there'll be tens of thousands or millions die in this war, which will start World War III. And of course, you know, World War III, anybody know how many people are supposed to die? What percentage of the population of the world is supposed to die during World War III? One-third. One-third of everybody on Earth is going to die during World War III. You know, when they had 8 million people die in World War I, it was the war to stop all wars. They thought that was awful. 8 million people died. Well, then it wasn't but just a few years. We had World War II, and 52 million people died in World War II. And they thought, my land, 52 million. But now then, the World War III will kill one-third of the population of the Earth. Today, that would be about 2.2 billion people. You know, there's only 300 million in the entire United States. That's only a tiny portion of what's going to die. That's something, isn't it? Somebody sent me an email and said they had a dream Friday. And they saw something devastating happen. They were here in the Metroplex. And they saw a nuclear blast in a dream here in the Metroplex. I thought, well, it wouldn't surprise me. I hope it don't happen. You know, but it could. If it does, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready? You know, it's just like I was listening to that. Bill gave me a DVD. He copied off of TVN just recently, and it was about Rick Joyner and Irwin Baxter and Tim LaHaye, and then, of course, the Crouches. They were all talking about the second coming of the Lord and what's happening during these days. And Paul said we have so many different ideas about when the rapture is going to occur, you know, pre, mid, and post, and all this kind of stuff. He said, I really got serious with God, and I went in and got on my face and said, Father, I got to know when this thing is going to happen so I can warn the people. What do I do? And he said, I heard God clearly say two words. Be ready. What does that mean? It could come any time. It don't make a difference if it's pre, mid, or post. Be ready. You know, make sure that you have got your ticket from Jesus and you're ready to go home to be with Jesus. Because, you know, if we're not ready, think of the multitudes of people in America, in the world, that's not ready. Isn't that awful? There's only one thing that really amounts to anything, and that's knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if we don't know Him, and He does come, and of course He's coming for people every day. You know there's 250,000 people die every day? 250,000 every day under normal conditions. And only about 2 or 3% of those are prepared or ready to meet Jesus. The rest of them go to hell. That's awful. You know, when we sat and talked to Howard Pittman, that's one of the things he reiterated to us, that in that period of time that the Lord showed him at 1979 when he died as a Baptist preacher and went to heaven, there was only 2.5% of the people that died that day went to heaven. The rest of them went to hell. 2.5%. That's not very good, is it? So, what's the problem? I don't think we're doing a very good job telling people about Jesus. I don't think we're telling them. I just don't think we are. I just stand in awe at the people that are Christians that never tell anybody about Jesus. Never do anything for God. I don't understand. I can't understand that. But I used to be one of those. I've done that for a lot of years of my life. I was too busy and working, building race cars and all kinds of crazy things and flying airplanes and everything else. I didn't have time to talk about Jesus. But now then, I realize in the last 30 or 40 years of my life, that is the only thing that's important. Amen. Everything else is, you know, I think about some of the dollars I spent on some of them race cars. I know Ed, he's a race car fanatic like I was, only he's more so than I was. But, you know, I used to spend a lot of money building race cars and going to the races on Sunday and everything else. And guess what? That race car is gone. All that money I spent on that race car is gone. You know, never to be recovered. You know, airplanes I used to fly all over the world. Most of them probably in the boneyard by now. You know, but I'm still up walking around. You know, but those airplanes, they're nothing. You know, everything, I think about the buildings I've built, you know, and the places I've went and all over the world. Nothing. It doesn't amount to anything. You know, but at that time, I put everything I had into that. And it all falls away. And one day you take your last breath. And then where are you going to go? Well, I believe with all my heart, those of us in this room will go to be with the Lord. And because we are believers in Jesus Christ here. But you have a lot of people, friends, relatives, whatever, acquaintances that you know ain't going to heaven. And you don't talk to them or try to talk to them or nothing. But, you know, but there's some wonderful gifts God has given us. I want us to talk today a little bit about these gifts that God has given us. You know, when I got saved at 11, I was saved in a Baptist church. And I was in a Baptist church for a lot of years of my life, and I didn't even know there was such a thing as a gift that I was given besides getting saved. I didn't know I could do all these other things. The enemy done a really good job of deceiving me all those years, so I walked in zero power with God. I couldn't have prayed a prayer of faith like Betty prayed about that computer program that day and got God to answer. I didn't even know those things were available to me, Betty. You understand? I didn't know. Did you, Bill? You mean you're trying to say you're just as dumb as I was back there? Maybe more so. I don't think you could have been more so. But praise God, we're finally getting a hold of some of these things, aren't we? We're getting a hold of some of these things. So let's look. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at some of the things. Now, this is not an exhaustive study of what's available to us as sons and daughters of God. But this is some of the things that's available to us as children of God. And if you got these things that are listed here in 1 Corinthians 12, if you can do this, and you really pray about these things, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gives you these things, you will be able to do things that's beyond your wildest dreams. But you're going to have to seek them. You're going to have to pray over them. You're going to ask Him for them. Because He's not going to manifest those things. Technically speaking, they belong to you when you got saved, just like salvation. But I didn't know they were mine. It reminds me of back, like I was in the days of when I was, you know, really loved to build race cars and all that kind of stuff. It's like I had a garage over here with the most awesome race car in it that nobody could outrun. And it was in that garage, and it had a lock on the door. And I had the key in my pocket, but I didn't know what the key fit. Didn't know how to get in there. And so the race car sat there all that time. And that's kind of an association with how things work. It was really mine, but I didn't know it. But now I've learned a little bit about how to unlock that key. I've learned that key, what lock it unlocks, and I've unlocked it to a degree, and I have seen God do awesome things in my life. Well, just makes me wonder, what else is available to me that I don't know about from the Word? Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, let me tell you, I'm glad Paul said that, because let me tell you, I was very ignorant about spiritual gifts. But yet this has been in the Word of God for 2,000 years, and I did not know it. You know, for years I didn't know this. In fact, I don't know why the Baptists, and it's not just the Baptists, it's a lot of churches, I don't know why that so many churches don't even teach you about the spiritual gifts. We never even talk about those in a Baptist church, at least in the Baptist churches I was in, and I was in several. And we never talked about spiritual gifts. But here it is. So one day I began to read the book, and I learned about these spiritual gifts. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. Boy, you know, and of course, you know, we'll talk about these. Some of them you ask somebody, well, you know, what about, that gift of healing, wouldn't that be wonderful to have that? Some have the gift of healing. Well, but Thurman, that went away with the apostles. Oh, I thought, well, no wonder I don't have it. It went away with the apostles. you know, when you ain't never seen it manifest and nobody, including the pastor, well, then it's pretty easy for the enemy to say, well, you know, that went away with the apostles, so it's not for you today. And it's real easy to be deceived, isn't it? Real easy. So, but now then, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now he's talking to us. We're the Gentiles. We are absolutely carried away into these dumb idols. And I've served too many dumb idols in my life, haven't you? I mean, my race car used to be my dumb idol. And my airplane was my dumb idol. You know, if I had studied God's Word like I studied those manuals to fly that DC-8 around the world, my goodness gracious. Isn't that amazing that you can take a book? I can remember when I used to teach a group of engineers and pilots the systems on the Lockheed Electra, a four-engine turboprop. That book was at least 2 or 3 inches thick on that airplane. It covered every system on that airplane, every normal and every emergency procedure there was. And I'm telling you, I had that book so memorized, I could take a group of pilots and engineers and put them in a class, and I could start teaching them out of that book. And by the time I had finished that course, I mean, one of them could ask me, say, what's a normal procedure on a certain system? And I could say, go to section so-and-so, page 3, paragraph 3B, right down there, it's halfway down the page, and this is what it says. And I didn't have to have a book. I had the book memorized. Emergency procedures. I could tell you every emergency procedure there was on a Lockheed Electra. You couldn't put me in that cockpit and put me in a situation where I didn't know every procedure. I could quote it, spit it out for you. You could point to a circuit breaker. The whole top of that airplane was circuit breaker. What does that circuit breaker go to? I could tell you exactly where the instrument was it was attached to, where the power came from, and where it went to. I knew that airplane inside out, upside down, and backwards. I guess you think that just automatically came to me because I was so brilliant, right? No, you don't think it did. What do you think I did to get there? Study. Oh, study. Night and day. Study. Read them books. Study. Day and night. Day and night. But guess what? I didn't do that to God's Word. So guess what I could do with God's Word? Nothing. I couldn't do nothing. I didn't know nothing. Why can't I do it with that airplane? I had studied. Why do you think God told us in His Word? To study my Word. He wanted us to do something. He wants us to be able to stand by faith on His Word and to do great and mighty things. But if you ain't got that Word hidden in your heart, forget it. If that airplane's more important to you than my Word, then let me show you what I'm going to do for you. Nothing. And that's where I lived all those years. Yet this is all in there for me. Verse 3 and 4. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know, when I run into that one day, I thought, you know, I wonder if I started asking people. I'd ask somebody, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd say, are you sure you're a Christian? Yes. I want you to say Jesus is my Lord. I had a woman over in Dallas one time. She came up, and she wanted prayer. And this woman came up. Some of you might have been there that day. There's some of you here that could have been there. That lady came up, and I was praying for her. And all of a sudden, the Spirit prompted me to ask her to say Jesus is her Lord. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Okay. I said, I want you to say Jesus is my Lord. And she said, I said, come on. Say, Jesus is my Lord. I said, say it. I said, what's wrong with you, woman? And then the Holy Spirit prompted me. She's got a demon. I looked at her and said, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her. You're blocking her mind right now. I command you to leave this woman now. And I said, now, Father, I ask you to convict her of sin and bring her into the kingdom right now. I said, now, honey, say Jesus is Lord. She said, Jesus is my Lord. That quick. Isn't that amazing? How much power and authority did Jesus give us over the devils? What do we not understand about that? You don't understand, or we don't. I don't understand the spiritual world. But by learning the Word of God, I begin to understand what's going on. And here it says right here that no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is not in there, you cannot say Jesus is my Lord. You might open your mouth and say, Jesus is my Lord. Lord, I want you to know Jesus is my Lord. And if you can't say that, you need to see me before you go home today. If you can't say Jesus is my Lord, you don't want to go home without knowing Him as Lord and Savior. Is that right?
Amen.
You can say that, can't you? Amen. Everybody needs to say that. Jesus is my Lord. It's real easy to curse Jesus. People use the name of Jesus all the time in the form of a curse word. You know, something will happen, and somebody that don't even go to church, you know, I even on TV once in a great while, not very often do you ever hear it anymore, but especially out in the business world, some guy, something happens, he says, oh, Jesus. You know, I said, what does that mean when you say that? Oh, he said, it's just a word I use. Yeah, we've seen men do that a lot, haven't we, Bill? All the time, yeah. I mean, I know. I've been out there in the business world, and that's the way they are. But they curse Jesus. There's no problem cursing Jesus. But when you say, Jesus is my Lord, that man that's cursing Jesus cannot turn around and say, Jesus is my Lord. They might be able to say the name Jesus, but they will not be able to say, Jesus is my Lord, except the Holy Spirit's living in them. So whenever you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a new creation, a new creature. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now you can say Jesus is not only He is Lord, He is my Lord. He's my God. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Well, see, I was a Christian for years. I didn't even know there was a spiritual gift, much less different kinds. But it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. Same Holy Spirit, but there's many different kinds of gifts. Okay, verse 5 and 6. There are different kinds of services in the church. But it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives. But it is the same God or the same Spirit who does the work through all of us. Next verse. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. I went to church and didn't know there was such a thing, so I didn't have one. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, He gives the gift of special knowledge. I mean, God can give you physical gifts. He gave me a lot of physical gifts. In other words, I used to maintain the buses at almost every church I was. We had a church ministry with buses. I mean, I was a mechanic, and I just made time out of all my, as busy as I was, I made time to maintain the church buses. When I left Lakeland Baptist Church, Brother Ben, Dr. Ben Smith, made a statement. He said, Thurman has maintained our buses. He said he has overhauled them. He has done the preventative maintenance on them. He has kept our buses running. He said he has bought the parts, even overhauled engines and transmissions, and said to this day he's never turned in a bill to us for nothing. He's furnished the parts and the labor to keep the fleet of buses running. How can a man working for a living do that? If God gives you a gift, you can do it, can't you? Given it shall be given unto you. He'll make, here's the way He does it. I kept those buses going, and yet by me keeping those buses going, I virtually never had a breakdown of one of my own cars. Never broke down. I could drive a car 200,000 miles and not hardly ever even put a set of brake pads on it. You know, didn't have to buy nothing for my own cars. Now then, the average man, even a Christian in a church, don't get that kind of service out of your car. They break. But God, He knows the gifts He's given you, and if you use those gifts, even though they're a tangible physical gift and not a spiritual gift, if you use the gifts He gives you for His glory, He will take care of you. I think about how many women are good cooks, and they make things and bring it to church. God takes care of them. I'll tell you for sure. Verse 9 and 10. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else He gives the power to heal the sick. Isn't that an awesome gift? The gift of faith. Would you like to have that gift? Let me tell you, I want that gift. I pray for that gift all the time. Lord, fill me with that gift of faith. Now then, a few years ago, hadn't been too many years ago, 20, whatever, something like that, I didn't even know this was a gift. We never studied it in church. Never. We never talked about it. You know? I don't know why. But when I saw there was a gift of faith, I began to pray over this thing. Lord, I want this thing. I want to have a gift of faith. I want to have special faith. I want to do things for the kingdom of God. Woo! And then He says, and to someone else He gives the power to heal the sick. Lord, I really want that one. Would you like to have the power to heal the sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have it. Really, it's already in you. All you got to do is walk in obedience to His Word and pray and ask Him, and at the right time, He might have you like that lady. I've told this story before. I knew this lady personally before she died. But this lady, she lived to be about 90-something years old, but she was a ball of fire for Jesus, I'll tell you for sure. And she used to go and speak at different places. She was over in, I think, Nashville or somewhere. She had to change planes in Nashville, wherever she was going. And her plane was late, and the other one was, you know, she thought it was a little ways off. She was running to get to that plane, thinking, I'm going to barely make it. And she goes there, and there's a man pushing another person, I think it was a woman, or a man pushing a woman in a wheelchair. And the Lord says, go over there and lay hands on them, and I'll heal them for you. And here's what she told the Lord. Lord, I ain't got time. I'm going to miss my flight. And then she thought, what am I saying? Lord, I got time. So she runs back, and she's in a big hurry. She runs back and says, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And she's gone. That's how quick it was. She didn't even stay there. The next day, as she came back through Nashville, there's a paper sitting there that says, unknown woman lays hands on another woman, and she was miraculously healed. Front page of the newspaper. It's probably 20, 25 years ago whenever she did this. But she was a ball of fire. When Jesus, of course, this woman had prayed for these gifts. I mean, she had prayed. She wanted to be used for the glory of God. And she was walking in obedience to His Word. And then, at the right time, He'll just call you, won't He, Bill? Yeah. Isn't it fun when He calls you and tells you to do something like this? You know, when we went out to Hobbs, there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, that this gentleman came to a healing school in Dallas a few years ago, him and his wife, and he had dyslexia. And he was like 70-something years old, and he had never been able to read, never in his whole life. So he came to a healing school, and I told him, his name was Vernon Cannon. I still remember him. I'm not good at names, but I remember his name, Vernon Cannon. Vernon came up and he said, Thurman, I want you to pray for me. I want to be able to read. I said, you can't read? He said, no. I have dyslexia and the words are not, you know, they're all out of sync. And he said, I cannot read. I said, you've never read? He said, no, I cannot read. I said, okay. I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you to start quoting Mark 11:23. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I can read perfect in Jesus' name. It's written in Mark 11:23. Whatever I say with my mouth when I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I prayed for him, and he went away. And 3 months later, they came back to a healing school. He said, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life. He said, I went away from here that day praising God that I could read. He said, we walked out the door and I said, Lord, thank you, I can read. My wife said, wow, you can read. Read that sign over there for me. He said, thank you, Lord, I can read that sign. But he said, I couldn't read that sign. I said, Lord, thank you, I can read that sign. She said, well, read it to me. He said, Lord, thank you, I can read that sign. But he said, I could not read that sign. But he said, I never let a word come out of my mouth except, Lord, thank you, I can read that sign. He said, we went to church every Sunday. He said, when they put the words on the board up there, every morning I'd look and say, Lord, thank you, I can read that music. But he said, I couldn't read a thing. But I'm praising God. He said, the third month, he said, we went to church that morning. I stood up out there. He said, we'd go to a restaurant. I said, Lord, thank you, I can read that menu. He said, I couldn't. His wife, she finally quit asking him, you know, you can't read that? He said, I can read that in the name of Jesus. But he couldn't. But he's saying it. Third month, he said, I come to church that morning. I stood up to sing. Said, Lord, thank you. Them words are in perfect order. I can read perfect. And he said, third month, God is my witness. Everything come into perfect clear, and I could read perfect. He said, and I've been able to read ever since. When we went to Hobbs, his son, which was 50-something years old, come up to me and said, Thurman, I never knew my daddy couldn't read. But I got to thinking, I had never, he said, one day I come home, daddy's sitting there reading the Bible. I thought, you know, boy, that's strange. I've never seen dad read anything. And he said, I said, Dad, you're reading the Bible. He said, oh, yeah, son. He said, I went to Dallas and got healed. He said, what do you mean? He said, son, I couldn't read. I had dyslexia. He said, I got to thinking. In my 50-something years of being around my dad, I never saw my dad read a street sign, never saw him read a newspaper, never saw him read a menu, nothing. So we'd go into a restaurant together, he'd just tell him what he wanted, you know, whatever. It's real easy, you know, order a chicken fried steak and cream potatoes, you know, and peas or whatever. You know, it's really, you don't have to have a menu for that. So he lived his whole life without being able to read. But by saying what he wanted, the gifts of the Spirit that God had given me with the knowledge he'd given me from his word, when Vernon did what I told him, God opened his eyes and fixed his body where he could read. Now then, his son told us when we went to Hobbs, he said, Daddy is reading mostly the Bible, but he said he reads all the time. Well, when we went out there one time, I guess it was second or third time, whatever it was, or fourth time, whatever it was, Vernon came up to me. He said, Thurman, I got to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, you know that little Waldrop girl that you prayed for that got healed? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, great, awesome testimony. He said, yeah. He said, God spoke to me two times and told me to go tell Kent Waldrop to bring his daughter to you and he would heal her. And he said, I didn't do it either time. I said, why? He said, I guess I just didn't believe God would really do it. I said, well, I understand. I understand. I mean, you know, I deal with people like that every day. I was one of those for years of my life when I could look at a promise right there in God's Word and I said, isn't that nice? I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. These are them. I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if I had those? God said, you show me where I've tucked those out. He didn't take them out, did he, Bill?
Nope.
But I didn't believe him either. But here's a man, after he got miraculously healed and could read, he still couldn't believe God's word, even when God spoke to him audibly and told him two times to go tell Kent Walter to bring his daughter to me and he would heal that girl. Why do you think God tells people to come to me? Why? He has given me the anointing. He has done that, hasn't he, Bill? He has given me that anointing. He has given me that faith. He's given me those gifts. And he know I believe him. And so he uses me for his glory. And I am so grateful. I realize it's him. It ain't nothing to do with me. I just prayed and asked for those things. And he give them to me. And I'm so grateful. So grateful. Every time I see somebody get healed, I think, oh God, these gifts that I didn't even know belonged to me. But this says the Spirit gives special faith to one of us and to someone else. He gives the power to heal the sick. You know, he turns that on and off as he wills too. I wished I could turn that on and off at my will. I'd just turn them on and never turn them off. But you know, you pray for one person and nothing happens. You know that? You pray for another and something good happens. You know, those are special gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. You know, He can do awesome things. You know, I think of the night I prayed for Johnny Brumfield. I mean, the first person I prayed for was Norma Garcia. I mean, and when Norma come down crying with her tears and repented of her sin, and I just reached up and laid my hand on that lovely woman's shoulder and said, in the name of Jesus, and that woman was instantly healed. I mean, Parkinson shaking like this. She was absolutely healed completely, and I was awestruck. And I thought, wow, the gift of miracles has come upon me. That's what I immediately thought. So I run over here to Johnny Brumfield. Here he is sitting here with those steel braces all the way down his legs, with his legs sticking straight out. I knelt down in front of him. I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, 21 months ago, a big tree fell across a tractor I was driving and crushed my legs. He said it took an hour and a half to cut me out from under that thing. They flew me. They had a helicopter there when they got me out. They flew me to Shreveport, Louisiana. I was in ICU 30 days. They'd done all kinds of surgeries on me. But they said, I'll never walk again, and I took a step in 21 months. I said, but Jesus says in John 14, 13, and 14, I can ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything, and He will do it. Do you believe that? He said, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. And I knelt down in front of that man and laid my hands on them knees and said, Father, on behalf of John 14, 13, 14, give the man brand new knees. I said, it's done. I said, you believe that? He said, I do. I said, then take the steel off and stand up and walk. And he took the steel off and he's running to this day, totally healed. And then from there, I totally died. I don't remember a thing happened in that church after that until we went down to get Norma and Johnny to take them to GLC to make their testimony. And she said, Thurman, what about the guy that was in the wheelchair that you prayed for after you prayed for Johnny? I said, what guy? You don't remember? I said, no. She said, they brought a little guy in a wheelchair that was stretched straight out, could hardly even sit up, and they had brought him down the aisle, and he was sitting over there to the side with his wife. And after you prayed for Johnny, you jumped up and run over, jumped right in the middle of him and screamed, be healed in the name of Jesus. And said, the guy jumped up and ran out of the church. And I don't even remember that. Now, who was working there? Oh, the Holy Spirit. Wow, was He there? And I was so dead, I don't even remember it. I wish I could stay dead like that every day. And God would show up and do those kind of things. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Rosemary? Wow. But who gives us these wonderful gifts? The Lord does. I mean, it's Him and His gifts. He gives us special faith, and then sometimes He gives us the power to heal the sick, to do miracles, and He gives one person the power to perform miracles. And I think that night, that's what hit me. The gift of miracles. I think, you know, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And I don't even remember it. Isn't that awesome? How could you possibly not remember that? That's what Norma kept telling me. You don't remember that? I said, no. She said, you were like a wild man. You know, said after Johnny got healed, you just jumped up and ran from there straight over and jumped on that guy. And his scream, be healed in the name of Jesus. And so the guy jumped out of the wheelchair and started running all over the place and ran out the back door. How can you not remember something like that? Isn't that awesome? But who has given us these gifts? Jesus does. He gives us these gifts. And He gives one person the power to perform miracles. Wow. Lord, I want that gift. Is that worth praying over?
Amen.
Yes, that's worth praying over. And to another, the ability to prophesy. That's never been one of my desires, to be a prophet. You know, I will have to say that God has used me like that. In fact, when I was going to the Baptist church down here, we had a little pastor by the name of Martin Knox. He was about 30, mid-30s, and he had a master's degree from seminary. And he was a great little preacher, you know, just a normal Baptist preacher. But he was a good boy, good guy. And I used to walk out of the church, and I'd shake his hand, and I'd say something to him, you know. You know, like Martin, you know, it would really be nice to preach on whatever. You know, just I'd mention something. When he got ready to leave there, when I shook his hand, told him how I'd enjoyed having him as my pastor and all these things, everything. He said, Thurman, I have one thing to say about you. I said, what's that? He said, I never heard of a prophet in the Baptist church. But he said, you're the closest thing to it I've ever seen. I said, what do you mean? I said, I never prophesied. He said, you have no idea how many times I'd be praying and asking God, Lord, what do I need to preach on next Sunday? And you'd walk up and say, you know, you ought to preach on this next week. And he said, something would click. That's it. And he said, I'd preach on it and said, awesome things would happen. He said, it was amazing how many times you told me that. He said, I got to where when I prayed, I was waiting to see what you were going to say when you left that day. Now, where'd that gift come from? The Lord. And isn't it amazing how he will give you that gift for his glory? And he's using me, I don't even know it. Isn't that wonderful? And to another, he gives a gift of prophecy. And he gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Oh, that would be a very good one to have, wouldn't it? Discerning of spirits. In other words, there is spirits out there that's not the Spirit of God. And you have to be real careful when those guys come along. They will feed you a story that sounds good. It's amazing how many times we fall to the things of the world. Sin. I mean, any time a spirit tells you to do something that doesn't line up with God's Word, don't do it. Don't do it. You know it's a spirit of hell. You know, and if you're not real careful, that spirit, it'll catch you at your weakest moment.
What if it's
and
not mentioned in God's Word?
Do what, son?
What if it's not mentioned in God's Word?
If it's not mentioned in God's Word?
Activity that's not mentioned in God's Word.
Well, if you're led by the Spirit, you'll automatically know. It doesn't make a difference whether it's written or not written. If there's something you're going to get involved in, if it's of God, then the Spirit of the living God will confirm it. And if you start to do something and it's a spirit of hell that's telling you, if you're tuned in to the Holy Spirit, He will not let you go astray. He will not let you. But if you've got to be tuned into Him, you've got to be tuned in. Because he's going to give you these gifts of the Spirit to determine whether this Spirit is of God or if it's not of God. He will warn you. This is when you get to hear both of them. I've had that happen. I've had times when the Spirit of God would tell me to do something, and then the Spirit of hell would tell me that wasn't true. What I just heard was not true. I remember the night that my car quit on me down in Granbury, Texas, way back yonder in the mid-70s, when my little 71 Toyota fuel pump went bad on it one night, and I was going to home with my wife and children, and we were going down to Mom and Dad's, and we got to Granbury. That's about halfway there, and my fuel pump failed, and I get out, and of course I'm checking. There's no gas in the car. No gas coming out of the fuel line. And so when I see there's no gas coming out, I know there's a bad fuel pump. And so I just said, oh, shucks, Lord, here I am in Granbury, 9 o'clock on Friday night. I'm dead in the water. The fuel pump don't work. I said, what am I going to do? You know, you've asked God for the, I didn't dream he's going to talk to me. I'm talking to him, but I don't have a clue he's going to answer me back. But he answered back. He said, son, didn't I say in my word you could ask for anything and I would do it for you? And I was startled and I said, well, yes. He said, well, you know, so what are you going to do? What are you going to ask for? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need enough gas for you to pump enough gas for my car to run 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and children home. And then tomorrow I'll put a fuel pump on it. Thank you, Lord. It's done. So I put the gas line back on. I get in the car. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going home. She said, I thought you said the fuel pump don't work. I said, it don't. But I hit the starter, and it started. And then as we pulled out, this little voice says, now, you don't really think that God is going to pump gas for an old, wicked boy like you. See, he knew every sin I'd ever committed in my life. You don't really think he's going to do this for you. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I asked the Lord to give me the fuel, the gas to go home. I'm going home. This car is running, and I'm going home, and it's going to run all the way home. And I fought that battle. I got out the edge of town, and when I got to where I could drive 55, I pushed her down, and it wouldn't run by 50. And so then I couldn't understand why it run 50 uphill, downhill, round corners, but it wouldn't run over 50. And I said, Lord, why will it not run by 50? He said, son, I'm a faith God. And that's exactly what you asked for, 50. He said, you don't get 51, you get 50. Now, I learned another great lesson there. He is a faith God. If I had asked him for 55 and I would have drove 55, I would have not learned that lesson. Isn't that amazing? So guess again who was speaking out of my mouth when I asked for 50? The Lord. The Lord. He had a plan. And he was training me, teaching me something. That's why he says, praise him and thank him in all things. All things. And so I went on home, praise God, and the car worked good. The next morning I went out there. Of course, I was going to move it the next morning, put it under a shade tree. Because when I got home that night, I was so excited. You know, my mom, we get home way late at night, 12 o'clock, whatever it was. And I jumped out of the car and said, praise God, Mom and Dad, we had a miracle from the Lord tonight. He pumped gas for our car all the way home. I could get excited when Jesus shows up. You know that? I might have been a Baptist, but I wasn't a normal Baptist. I could praise the King. Well, the next morning, of course, we sat up till 2 o'clock in the morning at least and talked about that. I couldn't go to bed. There wasn't no way I could go to bed and go to sleep. But the next morning, I got up and went out there to crank that car up, and it wouldn't fire a lick. Not a lick. So I went and got me a new fuel pump and put it on her out there, right there in the heat, and it worked good. You know, never did have no more trouble with it. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. In other words, the gift of tongues, we call it. Now, that's something you didn't ever mention in the Baptist church. The gift of tongues? In fact, one day when I was over at Lakeland, I was a Sunday school teacher over there, and there was a lady there. We happened to pass through some scripture that talked about tongues. And she stopped me. She said, Thurman, do you think that's a real gift in a church today? I said, of course it is. She said, you really believe that people can speak in tongues? I said, yes. She said, do you speak in tongues? I said, no. She said, well, why do you believe there is such a gift then? I said, because it's written in the book. I said, I believe there's a gift of faith, but I don't operate in that either. I said, I believe there's a gift of miracles too, but I don't operate in that either. I believe there's a gift of healing, but I ain't never seen that work either. But just because I've never seen none of them work to this point, I still believe every one of them's real. Now then, from that day to this, I've seen every one of them work. Now then, it's hard to convince me that they don't work because I've seen them all work. Some of them much more than others. Isn't that amazing? You know, that'd be just like, can you work on an air conditioner? No, I don't know nothing about an air conditioner. But you ask me that, can you work on an air conditioner? Any kind, any size, don't make no difference. I fixed them all. Now then, if you'd asked me that question back when I was 15 years old, I could have said, no, I don't know nothing about an air conditioner. But I can learn. But now then, you got to me too late. Air conditioners, I know how they work. You know, I have designed them, built them, put them in, big ones, little ones. I have no problem with them. But knowledge. Verse 11 and 12. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, why will he give me those gifts and not give them to you? Do what? I prayed over them. I pled with him. Lord, I want these gifts. I asked for these things. I mean, if I were to come over to your kitchen, Betty, and I say, let me hold your hand. I said, Betty, you make the best cakes ever. Will you please make me a cake? You might say, Thurman, I ain't got time. But if I ain't going to turn you loose, I'm going to say, I ain't turning you loose until you make me a cake. You're finally going to say, okay, I'll make you one. Is that right?
That's right.
Now then, if you get on God's doorstep and you don't let him go, Lord, I want these gifts. I want to operate in these gifts. And you say, I've been praying like that for 6 months. Ain't nothing happens yet. Well, then keep on, because tomorrow it may happen. It's going to happen. You know, God is testing you to see if you're diligent about this. And, of course, a lot of really young people, they want those gifts, and God says, no, I won't give them to you because you make a fool out of yourself. You got to wait till you're secure in me. So he's very careful. I have seen several young men in my life that got one or two gifts, and they went wild. And some of them, it cost them their life. Young. God knows what he's doing. So when he gives you a gift, so many people will take those gifts and try to build them up and say, look what I'm doing. And that'll cost you your life. It'll cost you your life. God doesn't share his glory with anyone. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ, of which we are. So he may give one of us a gift of discerning of spirits, and another one a gift of healing, and another one a gift of faith, and the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. All those different gifts, he will choose who he gives them to. And of course, sometimes he'll just give you the certain gifts, and you may only get to operate in that gift one time in your whole life. Just because he gives it to you doesn't mean you're going to have it forever. The gifts, technically speaking, are in every one of us. We got them. But that gift has to have a key that turns it on. And when that Holy Spirit turns that gift on, if it's a gift of miracles, and he says, today I'm going to use Kim for the gift of miracles. I'm telling you, girl, you could be going out there and the Lord's turned the key on. You don't even know it. And as you're walking along the road, you walk by somebody and you say, oh, hi, how are you doing today? And reach out and shake somebody's hand. And they get fired up and fire with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness, I had a pain in my leg when you touched me. It all went away. Wow, what's wrong with you? And the gift of miracles. He said, oh, I want to use Kim today. And Kim gets excited now. Let me find somebody else I can touch. And who knows, he may leave that gift turned on all day long. You may have, by the time the day is over, it's awesome what may have happened in your life. So you get up the next morning and say, wow, God, I'm ready for another day. He said, well, we're not going to do that today. I just turned that on for you yesterday. And you try to do everything you can. You pray, you do everything, you touch everybody, and nothing happens today. Ooh, isn't that sad? But you can praise him for what you got to see him do yesterday, right?
Yes.
See, now, who is it that turns these things on and off? It's the Lord. He turns them on and off as he wills. He's an awesome God. He says, but we're the human body, we're made up of many parts, so it is with the body of Christ. He will use us as he wills. Verse 13 and 14. Now, some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. And we have all received the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that's in you is the same one that's in me. There's no difference. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Now let's go and see what he talks about there in 15 and 16. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? It's very simple the way he's put this together here, verse 17 and 18. Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? I mean, just think, if we were all anointed with the gift of healing or the gift of miracles, everyone in the church had that wonderful gift, wow, we'd have to really go look for somebody to do something with, wouldn't we? You know, because we wouldn't need it in here. We'd all have it. So it would be a strange church if we were all just one eye. How could you smell anything? How, if you were all an ear? But God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. Now, you know, you don't realize how fortunate you are to have a finger till that finger don't work. You know that? You know, you go along through the day and you never sense how important everything is until you cut your finger, right? When you cut it and it's really tender, then everything you touch is with that finger, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how it works? But yet, you never realized it before because everything's working normal. You know, you don't realize it. Those fingers and the fingernails and, you know, I mean, you know, if you... the other day, I was just shaving, and I put my finger up here like this, and I was in a hurry, and I was going like this, and that blade hung right there in the my nail and cut plumb down, I mean, into the meat. And, of course, I just washed it off and went on. Later, Cheryl said, "What's that blood on your hand?" I said, "I cut myself with a razor." She said, "Oh, my goodness, let me do something." I said, "Oh, woman, go on, I'm okay." You know, see, she won't take such good care of me, you know. I won't even let her, you know. She says, "That's okay." See, but I'm just tough. See, that's all there is to it. Or stupid. I don't know which way it is. Oh, man. But God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. But I'm telling you, every time I did something for the next few days, I kept having to trim that fingernail back because I kept hanging it on my pocket or on something. And every time you hang it, it tears, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, it's not like it's really painful, but it's not really, it's not the way I want it to be. And so it's just painful. So I kept trying to trim it off. Thank goodness it wasn't but a few days. It grew out enough that I had it cut back enough where there wasn't no split part there to hang on everything. But that one little finger created all kinds of problems in my body. Now verse 19 and 20. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. It would be, wouldn't it? What a strange thing we would be. Wow, what if all you had was a set of lips? Would you be a strange-looking critter with only a set of lips? Wow. Or if you only had an eye, or if you only had an ear. Wow. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. I love it. I don't mind telling you, whenever I reach over to hold my honey bunny, I love to look at all her different parts. Don't you? You know, I love to put my hands on her sides and put my hands on her hips and feel her body. I love feeling her body. She's got a beautiful body. I love it. And I love to handle it and touch it. You know, I love to run my fingers through her hair. I think, "God, you're so awesome." Even though I know it's not the right color. You know, I know it used to be a little gray in her, but she wants it whatever color you call this, brunette or whatever, and it's beautiful. And I love to run my fingers through it. It feels so smooth. Don't you love all those things that God made about you? Don't you love it because He made you with eyes, ears, nose, a head, a mouth, you know, hips and legs and toes and fingers? Don't you love all that? He's an awesome God. Yeah. There's many parts, but there's one body. 21 and 22. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most important. Now, I have got a little part in my body that I've never seen, and I know it's not very important. It's called a heart. Is it very important?
Yes, it is.
Can I work without it? I mean, just one little piece of it goes bad, and what happens? Oh, it's over. The rest of the body don't work without that thing, does it, Bill? Ever beat. And to think, and you know, I didn't realize how important the heart was until I went to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. In that museum, they have a room up there, a couple of big rooms that's just heart. You know, you can walk through all the parts of a heart. Has anybody ever been to that museum? A few of you have? Well, when I walked through that and looked at this big old heart, I thought, wow. And then they got all kinds of hearts out there, real life-size ones, you know. And then the one thing I remembered as an engineer was the manometers they had on the wall there. Squeeze the bulb until the mercury goes to this level right here. This is a normal heart. Your heart works that hard. All your arteries and veins are open and nothing's clogged. And you go, wow, that's tough. And that's a good heart. And then you go over here, 25% blockage, 50% blockage, 75% blockage, 90% blockage. And the 90% blockage, I can take both hands and squeeze it about three times. And then I'm out. I'm over. I couldn't squeeze it very many times under the good one. And do you know yours beats all day long, every day? And when you go to bed at night and take a break, it don't take a break. It keeps right on beating. And it never wears out. Or at least not for a long, long time. Now, when God designed that little thing, how long did He design it to last? Forever. Your heart was designed to last forever. Just like your body was. If we had never sinned, we would have never died. Isn't that something? Sin brought forth sickness and disease, which brought forth death. But originally, God made it, and He and the Holy Spirit would have kept our hearts beating, and we would never have died. But some of those parts that seem the weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Well, there's lots of parts inside that I have never seen, but I can't live without those. Now, I have one part I know that I can live without because they took it out when I was a kid. Now, I didn't know nothing. I don't even know why Mom and Dad had this done. But when I was a 10 or 12-year-old kid, I remember taking me over to the doctor one day, and the doctor took my tonsils out. And I didn't know, you know, but I know I sure couldn't eat any chicken fried steak for a few days. I mean, it sure did make my throat tender and sore for them to go down there and cut those things out. And I don't remember it making any difference. So, I mean, I know those things are in there for a purpose. I just don't know what the purpose was. Obviously, I've been able to fare pretty good without them. But, you know, if they'd have took my heart out that day, I wouldn't, forget it. It's over. And there's other parts they take out you can't live without. Many of them, like a liver, or you might live without one kidney, but you got to have one. And if you don't, then you're in big trouble. Then verse 23 and 24. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we particularly protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. That one of those parts that should not ever be seen is a woman's breast. A woman in the church especially should always dress to hide herself from the eyes of a man. Because if a woman wears a dress that comes down to here, you know, that just barely covers her nipples as it goes by, I'm telling you, men look at those parts. And it does things to those men that would not normally be done if they didn't see those things. So that's why a woman should always dress to cover her body. The scriptures is very clear that the woman should dress to draw attention to her face and not to her body. He tells us so many ways and so many places how we should dress, but we really don't pay any attention. You know, if you don't believe women pay a lot of attention to themselves, the average woman, you look at what she spends on makeup. I had no idea what my wife spent on makeup until we lost the makeup kit. Some guy broke into our car one night over at the restaurant while we was in there, and he stole Cheryl's makeup kit. I guess he thought it was a purse, but it would have been better if he had got her purse, because her purse cost less money than the makeup kit did. I was amazed at what this woman spends on keeping herself beautiful. But I love her to be beautiful, so I guess I don't have a problem with that. Oh, goodness. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. While other parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. In other words, you don't wear a glove to cover up your hand. Your hand's naked, but you know it doesn't do anything to you, does it? Now, you can see your hand, no big deal. You know, but can you get along without those hands? It'd be awful, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine what it would be if you just lost a finger, much less a whole hand? You know, so, I mean, I'm so grateful that God put all these parts together, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm so grateful we have all these parts. And then he says in 25 and 26, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. Now, if we really did that, we would be a wonderful church. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. So whenever one of us is suffering, we should all be there to pray. In fact, a while ago, I thought, I love it when people do what Paul did a while ago. Paul was sitting back there on the back. Where'd he go? I don't know where he went. But he was there just a little while ago. But anyway, I came in and he was sitting there and I said, Paul, are you okay? And he said, no, my shoulder's hurting something terrible. He said, will you pray for me? Well, now what do you think I would do? Of course I will pray for you. I prayed for him. Then while we were standing there singing, he walks over to me and says, Pastor, I want to tell you my arms are feeling so much better. He said, it's just amazing. I can raise my arms up. I couldn't do this a while ago. Well, what are we supposed to do to one another in the church? Well, to pray for each other, right? And then when we pray, what are we supposed to expect? An answer. You know, we're supposed to expect our King to show up and do something because we're all one body and he wants us to pray for each other. And then in verse 27 and 28, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Now here is a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First, there are apostles. The Baptist Church, unfortunately, which I was raised up in, they don't believe in apostles. They don't believe they're here today. But I can't find nowhere in the Word of God where they ever went away. There is supposed to be apostles in the church. Men that really are on fire for Jesus, that are doing great things for the kingdom of God. And that's just like prophets. You know, I mean, the Baptist Church, the first two, we just drop. Apostles and prophets in the Baptist Church, we didn't have them. Why? Wonder why. But you know, it's not just the Baptist Church. There's a lot of churches that will not acknowledge that there's apostles and prophets. They will not acknowledge it. Not at all. So I don't understand why we don't believe this book. This is where you learn this. This is God's the one put it in here. Don't you think he was trying to tell us something? I think so. And then he says, third, there are teachers. Now, we acknowledge that. I'm almost all teacher. All churches acknowledge there are teachers. Then there are those who do miracles. Uh-oh. We don't believe in that, do we? We really don't. I have been a Christian. I've bought one of those people that could almost say I've been a Christian all of my life because I was raised in a good Christian home, but I didn't make Jesus my own Lord till I was 11. But at age of 11, I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, although I'd been in church all my life. And I saw one miracle in my life, and I was awestruck when I saw it, and it was one of my best friend's father that I used to hunt and fish with and everything else there at Goldsway where we lived. And his dad owned a lot of land down on the river, and he had a pickup wreck and broke his back. And so he was a very active man. And this man had nothing to do now except sit home and listen to the radio. And one day he heard this crazy guy up in Tulsa, Oklahoma by the name of Oral Roberts talking about miracles. And so he got to listening to this crazy nut. And one day he finally believed that he could be healed. And so he gets his wife to drive him from Goldsway to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he goes to one of Oral Roberts' meetings. And when he went down there and Oral prayed for him, he jumped out of that wheelchair and started running around. Hugh came home with that wheelchair in the back of his car. And he's walking, and I see him walking. And I asked my friend, Hammond, I said, what happened to your dad? He said, well, something supernatural happened. Dad can walk. Well, when he went to church the next Sunday, he walked in, and some of the deacons said, Hugh, what are you doing? He said, praise God, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and our brother Oral Roberts prayed for me, and I got healed. And they said, you know, that's of the devil. Oral Roberts is of the devil. This will not last. You'll be back in that wheelchair, and you'll die in that wheelchair. And in a week, in 1 week, that man had lost his healing, was back in that wheelchair, and he died in that wheelchair. And it came to him from church. Now, which wonder which spirit was talking out of those men's mouths. Oh, it wasn't God, was it? See, but he didn't have a clue how to discern the spirits. He'd never been taught this stuff. But he had the faith to get healed and then lost it because of a bunch of Baptist deacons that said, Oral Roberts is of the devil. You see, you've got to be careful in church, don't you? You've got to be careful. Those who do miracles. Oral Roberts was one of those. There ain't no doubt about it. Those who have the gift of healing. Of course, there's no doubt Oral Roberts had that too. God called him out to do great and mighty things for his kingdom. And of course, there's a lot of men. You know, if you'd asked me 20 years ago if I ever had heard of a man that had the gift of healing, I wouldn't even have known there was a gift of healing 20 or 30 years ago. I just didn't know they were there, or maybe 30 years ago. But it says here that they are. There's those who have the gift of healing and those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, and those who speak in unknown languages or tongues. I know there's some of you in this room have some of those gifts. And the thing that really gets me, I've been to a few Pentecostal churches, and they really, really emphasize the gift of tongues. You know, and they'll even tell you, if you don't have the gift of tongues, you're not saved. I've heard men say that. If you have the gift of tongues, you're not saved. In fact, I had a lady here call me, I guess it's a year or two ago, and she said, I've got to talk to Thurman Scrivener. Okay, so the girls told me about it, and I called her back, and I said, how can I help you? She said, you know, I guess I'm not saved. I said, what do you mean you're not saved? She said, I go to a Pentecostal church, and I've been to every meeting there can be, and she says, I absolutely cannot speak in tongues, and so they tell me I'm not even saved. I said, do you think I'm saved? Oh, she said, my goodness gracious alive. She said, the gift, the miracles you do, she said, there ain't no doubt you're saved. I said, what if I told you I didn't have the gift of tongues either? She said, you don't talk in tongues? I said, very rarely, hardly never. Only once or twice in my life have I spoken in tongues. She said, and you don't speak in tongues? She said, I know you're saved. I said, yeah, I know I'm saved too. I said, I know I can work in the gifts of miracles, but I said, that's one gift God just hasn't given me. I just don't go around talking in tongues all the time. Hardly ever do I speak in tongues. You walk up to me and say something to me in tongues? I said, go talk to Kathy. She can talk to you in tongues. Go talk to Cheryl. She can talk to you in tongues. But I don't feel like it today. I hardly ever speak in tongues. Hardly ever. Only once in a great while. Does that mean I'm not saved? I don't think so. And it may be so. You know, that's one that's never really bothered me. You know, I've never even tried to develop it. So I said, okay, God, you know, if you want me to have it, it's just like Kathy, little Kathy, precious little daughter of mine that works for me here. This girl, she was lost, didn't know Jesus, nothing about him. I got her saved, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. She started talking in tongues. She didn't even know what she was doing. Now, did God really give her that gift? Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I could remember when Kathy would be at the Baptist church, she'd come to my Sunday school class, and she'd be sitting there talking to somebody. Oh, you know, one talking, and then all of a sudden she'd just break into tongues. And then she'd talk a little while, and she'd realize that I'm talking in tongues. They don't understand what I'm saying. So she'd stop. And the lady, I remember two or three times, somebody come over and say, Kathy, that's okay. Just be patient. That'll all go away in time. And I'd get her off to the side. I said, don't you ever let that gift go away. God give you that gift. You use that gift for His glory. He give it to you for a purpose. But he gave me several others. And I'm grateful for every one of them. I wouldn't trade the gift of miracles for the gift of tongues any day. I love to see him operate in the gift of miracles. I mean, just think of the results that comes to the people that are supernaturally healed when the gift of miracles come upon me. Like Dr. Gary Young. You know, if I could just name them, I could name a whole bunch of them that if the gift of miracles hadn't been operating through me that day or that night, those people would still be down or dead. But God used me for His glory to cause people to walk or to run or play or whatever. And I love those gifts. Wow. I love them all. I like them all. Those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, and those who can get others to work together, and those who speak in unknown languages. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? No. Does everyone have the power to do miracles? No. Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. 31. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. Well, you'll have to wait till next Sunday to get that one. Because that's a whole message all in itself. Now then, can you think of anything that's better than all of these wonderful gifts? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next Sunday. That's the message next Sunday. In other words, think about the gift of healing. Think about being an apostle. Think about the gift of prophecy. You know, think about the gifts of healings and miracles and all the wonderful gifts that we've been talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And think about getting to operate in those. See, this had been 30 years ago, and I'd have been sitting out there and somebody up here telling me about all these things. I'd have thought, man, where's this guy coming from? I've never heard of such things. This is all brand new stuff to me. I've never heard of these wonderful gifts. I sure haven't operated in them, but now then I have. Wow. And is it such fun? You know, I love it. You know, when you get to pray for somebody and you see the Lord show. In fact, I just thought of one. There was a lady, I went to an Andrew Womack deal here a few years ago, down here in Fort Worth, and it's a pretty big building, and of course, when Andrew gave the invitation for people to come up for healing, he said, if I have any other pastors here that would like to come up to pray for people, I invite you to come help me. And so, I was a pastor of the church over in Dallas, and I said, okay. I said, I'll just go down there. So, I walked down the aisle down there, and when I got there, I saw a lady. She said, Thurman Scribner, what are you doing here? I said, well, I come over to hear Andrew talk about the Word of God. And she said, do you still believe everything's a demon? I said, yes, I have never changed my mind. She said, I have a spur in my heel. I come down here to be prayed for, and it hurts me like crazy. I got a big pad in my foot, and I can't hardly step on my heel. Are you trying to tell me that's a demon? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't believe that's no demon. I grabbed her by the shoulder, shook her. I said, come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. And I said, woman, stomp your foot. I guarantee it's gone. And she said, I don't believe that. I don't. She said, it don't hurt. Isn't it wonderful to be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, even when the church, Jesus, the problems he has with his church to get us to believe him so he can heal us is almost unbelievable. He wants to heal us, but he's got to have somebody that he's empowered with these wonderful gifts that uses them in faith so he can show up, because he doesn't show up for nothing that's not faith. If you're not doing it in faith, the king does not show up. He totally used my faith that day to heal that woman, because she sat there and told me, I don't believe this. I don't believe it. But she got healed right there. I thought, wow, Lord, are you awesome? Are you awesome? And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, now then, let's stop and think about that just before we quit today. From the ones we've talked about, I want you to think in your own life of all these different gifts we talked about in these offices in the church. Which one of these gifts would you really like to see God use you to do? Which one? I mean, just Think about it. You don't have to tell me right off, but I want you to think about this week. Out of all these gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Lord, if you were to give me one of those to use it in my life, which one would you want me to have? Because I want to start praying over that one. If it's a gift of faith, then Lord, if that's the one you bring to my heart, I'm going to start praying over that every day. Lord, I want you to give me that gift of faith. I want you to manifest it in my life, and I'm going to let you use me for your glory in the gift of faith. But if it's the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, whatever it is, whichever one he moves on your heart, then you pray and seek him for that gift. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have some of these operating in your life? I love it. I really love it. There's not anything like it. You know, I mean, wow. Without prayer, nothing happens. After you pray, nothing's impossible. Is that right, Bill?
Yes.
Father, I praise you and thank you for the privilege to have your word. I thank you for all these wonderful things you've given to us in the church. Lord, I thank you for opening our understanding to all these wonderful things. And as we pray and seek you, how you will operate these gifts in our bodies so we can be used of you mightily for your glory. Lord, I just hunger and thirst for all of them. I want you to, I've seen you operate every one of these gifts in my flesh at one time or another, and some of many times. But Lord, I praise you and thank you for doing that. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for doing it even more as we see the end approaching. I believe, Lord, that you're setting up the church for the most awesome revival that's ever been. With all the devastating things that are happening all over the country, Lord, I thank you for giving us power over these things, dominion, and how we will be able to do great and wonderful things as your children. And people will know that we're attached to the Most High God because of these gifts that you put in us and things we can do and speak and things happen, miracles and healings and deliverances and fires put out and all kinds of things. Lord, there ain't nothing hard for you. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow.